Welcome to Business Talk with Megan McNulty, the podcast that takes you behind the scenes of business success and reveals the strategies, insights, and stories that drive these professionals to thrive in the ever-evolving world of business. Whether you're an established entrepreneur, a seasoned business owner, or simply fascinated by the world of commerce, this podcast is your front row seat to learn from the best. Each episode, Megan will bring you engaging interviews with professionals from diverse industries who will share their triumphs, lessons learned, and the insights they've gained along the way. Nick, thanks for being here today. How are you doing?
Thank you for having me. Doing great. How about you?
I'm wonderful. So I was curious to talk to you today because you are an expert on mortgages, and a lot of people that I know that are business owners have questions about how they get a mortgage, you know, what's going on in the California market and across the country. And I thought it would be really fun and informational to ask you kind of about preparing to get a mortgage, stuff like that. So if you don't mind, I'm going to start with some questions. And I guess my first one is, what types of mortgage loans do you offer?
Well, at my company, Trust Home Financial, we offer any type of residential mortgage loan. So a lot of mortgage lenders will specialize in a certain type of loan or a certain type of customer. And that's really where I spent the last 15 years working in that environment. But at my company, I mean, if there's an available residential mortgage, then we offer it. So the main ones that would include are your conventional loans, your VA loans, FHA, USDA. And then there's a whole suite of alternative mortgages I'm sure we'll talk a lot about today called non-QM. And those loan programs cover primary residences, investment properties, first mortgages, second mortgages. So really, if the mortgage exists, we can offer it.
Amazing.
The other thing I'll mention that's probably relevant to this is with residential mortgages, you can actually take a loan out as a consumer purpose or as a business purpose loan, meaning even though it's a residential mortgage to buy a property, you can close that either in your name as an individual or in your business's name if you do real estate investing, you know, for example. So we do those as well.
Amazing. What are the current interest rates for various loan options?
You know, there's a really wide range. I mean, I'm doing a loan right now for a first-time home buyer that's at 5.75% on an FHA loan. But then rates can go all the way up to 10, 11, 12%. And, you know, there's rates available within that entire range. It really just depends on a number of factors. I mean, the main things that determine what the interest rate on a given mortgage will be is the purpose of it. Is it a purchase or a refinance? What's the occupancy of the home? Is it a primary residence or investment property? Is it a fully documented loan income-wise, or is it an alternative or no document type loan? All those things can affect the rate. Typically, your, you know, primary residence home you're going to live in, conventional or FHA or VA, will have your lower rates. Realistically, right now, are between the 6 and 7% range. And then as you get into investment properties and second mortgages, you start to see the rates closer to, you know, 8, 9, 10%. And the reason for that is just because they're looked at as being a little bit riskier. Typically, if, you know, someone's going to run into a financial hardship or have an issue paying their bills, a primary residence typically gets paid, whereas a second mortgage or investment property has a little bit of a higher default rate. So that's why the rates are a little higher there. But if you're looking to buy a primary home, you can pretty easily get a rate in the 6% range today.
Okay. What's like the minimum down payment required for each loan type?
So for a primary residence on a conventional loan, it's 3%. But when you put 20% down on a conventional loan is really when the terms get more favorable. On an FHA loan, the minimum is 3.5%. And that's typically where you see the first-time homebuyers land in. On a VA loan for active duty and veteran individuals, there's 0% down payment options, one of the benefits of a VA loan. And then non-QM kind of alternative documents, you're going to be anywhere between 10 to 20% as a down payment. That's for primary residences. When you start looking at investment properties and second homes, you're going to need a minimum of a 15% down payment, and a lot will require 25 to 30%.
Okay. I see. Are there special programs or incentives available for first-time home buyers? I guess you kind of alluded to that.
There are. I mean, the FHA is really the sweet spot. You can do a low 3.5% down payment. There are grants and down payment assistance that is provided to first-time home buyers that is really more facilitated by the state, or issued or approved by the state than facilitated by the lender, I should say. So those types of grants or down payment assistance isn't something that a lender can directly offer, but we can facilitate it if the homeowner is, approved by the state for that grant. I mean, the other main benefits for first-time home buyers is the mortgage insurance rates can be reduced, and guidelines can just be more flexible and understanding as someone buying their first home.
Okay. What are like the closing costs associated with obtaining a mortgage?
So you've got really three main buckets. The first is called your origination charges. And that's what the lender's going to charge you in terms of their own fees to operate their company. Also included there is what's called discount points, which, a discount point is a homeowner can choose to pay for discount points to buy their rate down to a level below par. And so those would be included in origination charges too. Other than that, your next main bucket is your third party fees. And that's going to be, the title work for the home, the title policy, government recording fees and taxes, setting up your escrow account for the property tax and homeowners insurance, all those things that are required to close a loan, but not charged directly by the lender. Your appraisal, credit report, things like that are included there. And really, I kind of bunched those last two buckets into one: your origination charges, your third party fees, and then the setup of your escrow. I mean, your third party fees and your escrow is really going to be the same or very consistent regardless of the lender you go to, because the lender doesn't set those. There can be minor differences. Really, the origination charges, that's where you can see big differences among lenders in terms of, what they're going to charge you. When a homeowner goes to shop a loan, that's really what they're shopping, is that origination charges piece.
I see. Can you then give us a time frame on how long it takes for mortgage approval?
So for a home purchase, there's actually three stages of approval. There's a pre-approval, which is done like before you even start shopping. And I can issue one of those in 10 or 20 minutes. Once the customer's found a home and they're under contract, the next approval is called a conditional approval. And that usually takes just a day or two from when the customer comes under contract. Then, the loan needs to be processed. That's when we're waiting for the appraisal to come back and the title to clear and all of that. That usually takes about 2 to 3 weeks, and then you go in for final approval. So, from the time your offer is accepted on a home to when you're at final approval ready to close, on average is about 20 days or so.
Okay. Can you explain the difference between a fixed rate and an adjustable rate mortgage?
Yeah, I mean, the main thing is a fixed rate mortgage is, your rate's going to be locked in for the entire life of the loan. So your principal and interest payment will never change. Whereas an adjustable rate mortgage will track one of, several common indexes, and the interest rate will follow that. And so if market rates move up, then your interest rate will move up and your payment will go up too. But if in market rates go down, then your rate would go down as well. And there's pros and cons to each. Fixed rates are have always been more popular because they provide you stability. But over the last 2 years, since rates have been so high, you've seen a lot more people take out adjustable rate mortgages with the expectation that their rates are going to go down whenever rates do fall. And the benefit there is your rate goes down without needing to refinance and incur any fees. So those are really the two big main differences between the two.
Okay, what factors like influence my eligibility for a mortgage?
Well, I mean, the main things are, income, credit, assets in terms
Okay.
of like a fully documented traditional loan. And, guidelines on that are pretty similar across your conventional FHA, VA. They can be very different amongst individual lenders, but the base guidelines are pretty similar. When you get into non-QM loans, more of an alternative or no document type mortgage, there you're not relying on income, credit, and assets as much. And so that's kind of a little bit of a different bucket. But for a traditional loan, we're looking at 2 years of your income history, a couple of months worth of your asset history, and then your credit history.
Okay. Like what? Well, I don't know what mortgage insurance is actually. What is mortgage
It's a
insurance?
common question. So most people are aware of homeowners insurance, which protects the homeowner against, damage or theft to the home. If there's a fire or something like that, that's how homeowners insurance protects you. Mortgage insurance protects the mortgage company in the event the homeowner stops making their mortgage payments,
Okay.
and that ultimately results in a short sale or foreclosure. So not every loan requires mortgage insurance. Only the ones that are deemed a little bit riskier require it. And the
Okay.
main thing that requires it is how much equity is in the home. So, for example, I mentioned earlier, down payments when you buy a home can be as little as 3.5%. But to not have mortgage insurance on your mortgage, you usually need to have about 20% down payment. And
Okay.
so that's the trade-off is while you are in that range of 3.5% to 20% down payment, you're going to have monthly mortgage insurance because if you default on the loan, your mortgage balance is so high, the lender really takes a big hit on that. But once there's a little bit of equity built in the home, that mortgage insurance can be removed and save the customer a little bit more money.
Can you explain the difference between FHA, VA, and conventional loans?
Yeah, the main differences are so conventional would be your kind of clean cookie cutter, well-qualified customer. I mean, it's going to have the lowest rates. If you have 20% down, it won't carry any mortgage insurance. Fees will be very limited. So that's really your kind of A plus type mortgage for the best terms. FHA was really created a while back for first-time home buyers. So the down payments aren't as tough. The guidelines are a bit more flexible. FHA is really designed for people who don't have the same down payment money. Maybe their credit's a little bit damaged. Maybe their job history is a little scattered. It's just more flexible. Again, the trade-off for that is you've got mortgage insurance included.
Okay.
And then VA is just for military veterans and surviving spouses of military veterans. That's the only way you can get one. It's the most flexible of conventional or FHA in terms of guidelines. And some of the other benefits of a VA loan is there is no monthly mortgage insurance, even if you don't have 20% down. The guidelines are incredibly flexible and there's 0% down payment options.
Nice. Okay. How does a credit score affect qualifying for a mortgage?
Well, it can definitely affect it. It's one of several factors that drives it. I would say the amount of equity in the home is pretty equivalent in terms of how it affects the rate as the credit score is. But I mean, look, a higher credit score means a stronger history of paying your bills on time. And so when you've got a higher credit score, and the most important thing about a mortgage is getting it paid on time, the terms can be a bit more favorable. I do think there's some misconception about how drastically the terms can differ if you've got 780 credit versus 580. There is going to be a difference, but I don't think it's as drastic as most people think, just based off my conversations with people.
Okay. Are there current government programs or incentives available for home buyers that we should know about?
We kind of covered the main ones earlier with the first-time home buyer.
Okay.
Grants and down payment assistance. Those are really the big main ones. Outside of that, when you start getting into government assistance, really more of the programs are more about maintaining a mortgage, meaning if somebody already has a mortgage and they run into trouble with it, trouble making the payment, there's government programs that can help the customer get caught up and keep the home.
Okay. What sets your company apart from others in terms of customer service and support?
Well, right now the company's, about 6 months old. And so I'm really doing everything. And that creates, I think, a good benefit and service to my customers because my experience allows me to meet the qualifications to own and run the company. but I'm also qualified to be the individual loan officer licensed in the state to handle the actual customer transaction. So I can really handle everything. And that creates a really low overhead, low cost run business. And, that gets passed on to my customers in the form of, low rate and low fees. On top of that, I don't limit the products that I offer. Some lenders only do VA loans. Some lenders only do second mortgages. Some only do investment properties. I don't limit myself or my customers. If it's available, I can do it. So between just a really wide array of products and then a really low cost and low fee structure, it just, creates a solution for just about anyone who's looking for a residential loan.
Amazing. Okay, so one thing I know people are curious about is there's a lot of self-employed individuals or business owners, and a lot of times, if they're not paying, full in cash for a property, they'd like to get a mortgage. And is it hard for them to qualify? Can you provide mortgage options for them that aren't necessarily, they're not necessarily a W-2 employee? They don't have, W-2s to show a track record of working at the same company for a while. They normally, they're 1099 or they own their own businesses, and maybe it looks like, they don't, they, I don't know. You tell me. So how do you help business owners?
A lot's changed in that over the last few years. So what you're referring to, if you go back a few years, is the kind of quintessential business owner trying to apply for a conventional mortgage, because for a long time, really conventional was the only way to go for like an investment property, real estate type business owner. And it's common for a lot of business owners to, write off a fair number of expenses to limit their income on the returns to reduce their tax burden. And that's all fine. But when it comes to qualifying for a full doc conventional mortgage, it's really your net income filed on your returns that's your qualifying income. And oftentimes that can be, a lower number based off how the returns are filed. So, one of the things that I've done over the years is help business owners with how to file their returns. And I've got to be careful with that because I'm not a accountant and people need to file their returns accurately. But what I found is that if a business owner is educated themselves on how qualifying income works on tax returns for a business owner, then they're able to file their returns in a way that allows them to qualify for a conventional mortgage with much more competitive terms. And so, that's a big part of it is business owners just, filing their returns in a way that's good for their business, but not necessarily good for qualifying for a mortgage. So a lot of times we'll have a consultation, kind of walk through what we would need to do to qualify for a conventional, and that might take another year, right, until they file their next year's returns before that becomes available to them. And that's
Okay.
fine. That's part of what I do for people. But there's the non-QM section of loans. And there is it's really a suite of residential loans designed for the business owner that uses common sense underwriting. So, what I mean by that is, let's say, somebody that's got millions of dollars in the bank, but no income on their tax returns for one reason or another. Let me give you a real example. This is a customer of mine, good friend of mine, has lots of money in the bank, family business, just recently shut the family business down. And he wants to spend all of his time investing in real estate, but he didn't think he qualifies for a regular mortgage because he doesn't have any money on his returns. But he's
Okay.
got millions in the bank. Well, there's a new loan program called asset depletion, where if somebody's got enough money in the bank to cover that mortgage payment for 3 to 5 years, plus it's an investment property, so it's rented out. I mean, the tenants are covering most of the mortgage anyway. That's a common sense underwrite. That customer's going to be able to pay that mortgage. We're going to be able to approve that. That didn't exist all that long ago. Another common one's called a DSCR loan. So for business owners who have no income to show, this is called a no income document loan. I mean, you could have not filed your tax returns for the last 4 years and still qualify for this mortgage. Because what it uses in lieu of your business income is it uses the rental income the property's going to generate. And as long as the new mortgage payment is at or below that amount, then common sense would tell you, okay, well, this mortgage payment's going to get made. So, There's the business owner trying to go down the conventional route, and everyone I think should strive to get that because it's got the best terms. But if that's not an option or that's a while away, there's this whole other suite of loans designed for the business owner that are alternative doc, limited doc, or no doc. There's ones that all you need to do is provide your 1099s and not your tax returns, and we'll just use the 1099 income to qualify you. So that was a long answer, but it's really opened up, and there's just really a lot of options out there now.
I think some people aren't aware of that.
A lot of people, a lot of people aren't aware of it. Part of the reason why I started this.
Right. What kind of documents will I need to provide regarding my business finances if I'm going to apply for a mortgage? And also, what if I have a business partner?
So if it's a no doc loan, none. As long as your
Okay.
credit, long as your credit history looks good, we assume you know how to pay your bills and we're off. If it's a full doc conventional type loan, if you're taking the mortgage out just in your name, but you're using your business income to qualify, you would need to provide either 1 or 2 years of both your personal and business tax returns. But if you are taking a mortgage out in your business's name, so the title is going to be held in your LLC or corporation instead of your name, then we don't need your personal returns. We only need the business's returns.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah.
So let's just like recap. So if you're, because I deal with a lot of entrepreneurs and small business owners, if so there are specific loan programs and options for them. Can you explain like any, do you have any stories where like their business debt or their assets impacted their mortgage application if they're
Well, I've got a lot of customers using the asset depletion loan right now. So it's
okay.
classic business owner who's done really well for themselves, lots of money in the bank, but just not reflected on their tax returns. So let's say that I want to buy a house, the mortgage payments on it's going to be $2,000 a month, and I can get $1,800 a month in rent for that. So I have to come up with $200 a month. That's $2,400 a year. To
Okay.
qualify for this loan, you have to show that you have enough money in the bank to keep that mortgage payment covered for 5 years. So that's what, $12,000, $13,000. So that's a real example of somebody who was denied. I mean, a well-off person denied because the loan officer just wasn't aware this program existed.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay. Out of curiosity, how do you assess the stability and profitability of my business when considering a mortgage?
You mean of my customers?
Yes.
Well, it really depends on the type of mortgage we're doing. If we're going to do a full doc loan, you're assessing that based off the prior year's return history.
Okay.
If large sums of the income from a prior year were due to like a one-off sale of a capital gain, like you made a few hundred thousand, but most of that came from the sale of one property, and you don't own any other properties, like we have to take that into account because there's not a lot of certainty that form of income will continue. So you're really looking at the prior year or two and saying, okay, do we think that's going to continue and be stable? Yes. Okay. We move right along. Oftentimes a year-to-date P&L would be needed to confirm that, the income shown the prior years is continuing this year.
Okay.
And that P&L can usually be prepared internally by the customer. So
I see. Okay. What if my business income fluctuates and I want to get a mortgage application? Would it come down to just how much money I have in the bank?
I would say that comes down to that comes down to underwriting taking a common sense approach. There's not like a checkbox. It's really more about what's the story, what business are they in, why did the income fluctuate, does that story make sense, okay, where's the business going, and how do we predict the income will look a year from now. So it really depends on the individual situation. Like, I'll give you an example for a salaried customer, like a
Okay.
teacher. Like a teacher, for example, gets income usually, 8 or 9 months a year, and then there's a few months off during the summertime, and then income picks back up. And so that's called seasonality. And business
Okay.
owners have that a lot as well. If somebody owns a Christmas decoration business and all their money comes in November and December, and then there's no income showing for 9 or 10 months a year. We get that. We understand that business. So it's really just case by case, but having ups and downs in your income is not by any means like a disqualifier. It's just a matter of what's the reason behind it.
Okay. So basically what I'm taking away is that you really need to, if you're a business owner, at least start the process at least a year ahead of time before you file your tax returns, in order to figure out how you're going to purchase a home. And in that way, that you can come up with a good plan, right? So if you're not like a W-2 employee, it's really important to get ahead of this. Don't try to do it as soon as you are ready to buy. You really have to think far, ahead of time. Would you agree or?
Yeah, exactly. I would, find a trusted broker you like to work with and really sit down and go through, okay, what would it take to qualify for a conventional? What would I need? And if that means that's a longer term, 1 to 2 year plan, great. At least it's set in motion, but also really get a good understanding of what is available to you today. Because that's the biggest thing I've noticed. And if I have one message here, it's, business owners are usually smart, well-educated, well-rounded people. And that's why it's, I think, pressing for them to know that there are a lot more options out there than the average business owner realizes.
What? Okay, so if I guess, so let's just say I'm ready to buy a house, I'm a business owner, and I come to you, what would optimize my ability to get a mortgage? Is there anything like certain implications or considerations I should take? I should, what makes me look the best?
Well, I think it's really a matter of first, sitting down with someone experienced and really just assessing the whole picture. What is available to that person today? And does that meet their needs versus what might be available in a year or two if they take certain steps to improve their income on paper or improve their credit history? So to me, that's the first step is finding someone experienced you can trust, and really sitting down and getting the full picture. Because it's different with every person. I mean, the short answer to your question would be generally, the more equity in the property, the better the terms are going to be, no matter what type of loan you get. So
Okay.
someone's got down payment money ready, that's usually the biggest thing. But there's so much more that goes into it than just that.
I can tell. How do you like being a business owner?
It's been a trip. It's been fun. I've really enjoyed it. The fulfillment I get out of helping my customers doing it this way rather than working for big lenders is like just an entirely different level of fulfillment.
Right.
And I know that what I'm offering to my customers is, me putting my best foot forward every time. So I sleep very good at night with that.
Right.
It's been a wild ride, but I'm really enjoying it. I'm happy with where we are so far.
No, I think it's wonderful. I mean, you're almost, I don't want to mismarket it, your firm, but you're almost like a concierge, company that can help people get mortgages and help them implement a plan on what they're doing, whether it's for residential or for, investment properties. And given it's California, I know a lot of people are interested in investment properties and, how to go about doing that. And I guess I just thought of another question too. Like with the investment properties, that's a whole other beast as well, correct? Like what do we need if we already own a home and we want to, plan on and doing the investment properties? What do we do? Is there anything special we need to know about that?
Mainly what we've been covering is that a lot of folks out there think they may not qualify, or they may not qualify for a while. But the reality is, could be very different with a lot of these business owner and non-QM loans that have become available. So the items I covered earlier with, the no income doc and relying on assets and things like that all apply to the investment properties as well.
Okay. It's so interesting because Cal, so Nick, you cover all over the United States, correct? So you're open in certain, eventually you'll be open in more states, but you're not just, you're pretty much in multiple states across the US. And do you see any trends with different states or is there anything we should know about different states? I'm actually located in California, but I know you have customers all over.
Well, I mean, you kind of follow the news, right? So the states where a lot of the mortgage activity is happening right now is Florida, the Carolinas, Texas, California, of course, Arizona. the kind of Montana, Wyoming area up there is getting a big push as well.
Wow.
Yep. So I set my business up. I mean, I was initially licensed in about eight states, and those states were just the places where I knew people. I had former employees there, I had networks there, people I could start to educate. And then it's grown from there, as word has spread. So investment properties, I can do about 40 different states, and then there's about a dozen states I'm licensed to do anything and everything. And that's growing by the month.
Amazing. I find this super interesting. And I think my biggest takeaway is that if you're a business owner, you need to prepare, ahead of time before you file your taxes and have someone like you look over everything to make sure you have a good plan in place and you're doing the right thing when it comes to your financial plan and your tax strategy. And then I think, it's the American dream to own a home. So
Yeah, I would say this. I mean, there's the mortgage industry is a beast. I mean, there's so many different programs. Everyone's got different guidelines. It's one of those things that not only can guidelines differ among lenders, meaning if you're a business owner and you went to a lender and they said, "No, sorry, I can't help," that doesn't mean another lender can't. It just means their guidelines don't allow it. So there's that, along with the fact that, loan officers can make mistakes. I mean, it's impossible to memorize every single guideline out there. So, if you've been, told you didn't qualify or quoted a rate that you thought was too high or given direction that just seemed off for qualifying for a loan, my advice would be to not take that as the last piece of advice. I'd seek out a couple more opinions and make sure that you're aware of everything available to you, just because I've seen it happen a lot. So that'd be my main message is that there's probably a lot more out there available than the average person's aware of.
I agree. And a lot of people aren't aware that there's individuals like you out there who have, these businesses that can really make a big difference in terms of their strategy, like I said, and probably save them money too.
A lot of people right now are rates are still up, and a lot of people are kind of sitting tight, watching the market, waiting for rates to drop. So a lot of what I'm doing this year is just having conversations with people, planning sessions with business owners, kind of planning ahead so that when rates do drop, we are ready to pull the trigger and, get them the home.
Amazing. Do you have any other stories you want to share with us or anything else before we leave today?
Well, sure. Just on the note I just covered there. So one of my customers right now is a veteran in Pennsylvania, was denied by a major VA lender. And the reason for it was errors, made with the individual loan officer. And so he gave me a call and I was able to get him approved, and he's scheduled to close next Friday. So that's just a real life example of how, if you've been denied or turned away or given advice, that doesn't necessarily mean that's like the end all be all. Get a second or third opinion, reach out to me, we'll take a look. Be surprised that we may be able to, turn it around.
I love that. It's a lot of it is about, expertise and who and the ability to find the information out there that maybe you're not aware of. So thank you so much for being here today. This was really insightful, and I hope to we can do this again soon.
I'd love to. Thank you for having me.
If you've enjoyed today's episode, please consider subscribing to the Business Talk podcast and leaving us a review on your favorite podcast platform. Your feedback helps us grow and improve. Thank you for joining us today. This has been another episode of Business Talk with Megan McNulty.